I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to episode 406 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
This very special State of Origin edition of This Week in League. The game has literally just finished. The players have barely left the field. And as a result, I'm sure two-thirds of the cohort are feeling pretty fucking good right about now.
And for the rest of this show, you are officially Greg Blakely.
Yes. So how you feeling anyway, Greg?
Some would say I'm spicy.
I mean, you've been dumped in the fucking vat of gravy.
Spicy Greg.
Hey. Yep. Now, given that you were born in Sydney, well, not Sydney, but where were you shut out? Nepean?
Yes, Nepean Hospital, Penrith, yeah.
And raised in Ayres.
Correct.
Schooled. Ed's?
Yeah. Campbelltown.
Played any and all footy.
I feel like we've been through this.
Yeah, no, but I just wanted to clarify. I just wanted to make perfectly sure that given your strong New South Wales heritage, how do you feel about that fucking great win?
Did you support a team growing up with lots of Queensland players?
Manly, which is when a adoration for Wally Lewis started. And it's spilled over into the Origin arena.
And now look where I fucking gotcha.
So a man that shares his genes with Lachlan Lewis brought this misery on you tonight. Fucking hell. Jesus Christ.
Anyway, New South Wales, 50. Destroyed. Fucking destroyed. Queensland, 6. Let's go through the fucking try scorers. I don't have the collated one here, so I'm going to do it in order. So it's going to even be longer and more painful. Tommy Turbo, Brian Toto, Tommy Turbo, Saifidi. Fucking who else have we got here? We got another Toto. We got Luttrell. We got another Turbo. Cleary and Mitchell. Cleary mostly took care of the conversions, but Luttrell got a nice one as well. Defeating the Queensland Maroons, 6. Try to Kurt Capewell. Conversion to Valentine Holmes, and that's the end of that. Who would like to start? Who has anything they would like to bring up about this game in particular? I feel like the way that we laid out the potentiality of what would happen came out exactly perfectly. Cleary got to enter an Origin game with a natural foil that knows what he wants to do, and he knows what that guy wants to do. So It was none of this fucking God mode Cleary club guy, and then just does nothing except midfield bombs in Origin. That wasn't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Luai, fantastic, fantastic debut. Also, super comfortable debut because he's playing with his guy. I mean, like, yeah. Who knew that selecting a fucking form combination in the halves would work because the players know exactly what each other's fucking thinking.
Yeah,
I mean, amazing. Toto fucking his club form carried through into. I mean, he finished the opportunities that he was given. The meters, the post contact meters, running into the teeth of forwards. You know, bringing the ball back was fucking great, and ably assisted. You know, our forwards, and I mean, it's fucking crazy. Like the tone of this game was fucking set in the first set, where it was like Teddy and fucking Turbo had 4 hit ups in the first set of the game, and they were making fucking mad meters. And
where the danger was for New South Wales was in the forwards. Queensland had the potential to come out and absolutely fucking roll them in the middle of the field tonight.
Yes.
And the only way that wasn't going to happen is if the backs stood up and did exactly what they did and take some of that load off.
But also, I think, you know,
really it's like, fucking went to town.
And then the faster nature of the PVL ball era also meant that, you know, going with ultimately a lighter, more mobile pack,
yeah,
turned out to be fucking great.
One thing I'm happy to say that I was wrong about was Sims.
Yeah, I mean, I was cursing the shit out of him when he made that mistake early.
Yep.
On the first sort of half chance where someone slung it back inside, like who was it, Luttrell or someone slung it back in and he dropped it. But then he made up for it. I mean, that pass from a forward, just getting like his fucking his head and shoulders out through the line, and then a bullet that's 15 meters. Like fucking great, just tremendous pass.
Yeah.
And otherwise throughout the game, he did pretty well. I mean, and like in the afterglow of glorious victory, I don't even want to highlight any darkness on any of the New South Wales side, because I mean I feel like there was only probably one.
Well, Tarek Sims is now the best passing player to ever play Origin out of Newcastle.
Yes, I would imagine so.
Yes. So,
and of course we're including, Newcastle players from Newcastle who would have played every position on the field, including in the halves. Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct. Nathan Cleary, obviously now the greatest number seven to ever play for New South Wales, has now also got the greatest facial wound to ever play Origin.
Yeah. So now look, New South Wales. I wasn't concentrated. I mean, obviously, I saw him busted open and bleeding and having to get it patched up and blah blah blah. Which, let me just say, is a fucking like Sutton trying to fucking do what he can to get Queensland in the game too. I mean, like, fuck's sake. But what is the actual? Have you seen anything on the prognosis of if there's anything further or if it's just a cut?
No. Look, it's that part of your cheekbone. The skin's fucking paper thin there anyway.
Yeah.
And it's a relatively hard bone.
Yeah.
So he looked to have some bruising there. Not surprising, because it was a blunt force injury. It wasn't an actual cut. It was a split. So you'd assume that have glued him or stitched him and he'll have a nasty fucking headache tomorrow. Mm-hmm. The only concern, I think, would be HIA or concussion that he wouldn't play.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the way they dressed it as far as like the Vaseline, et cetera, accentuated it, but it really, the swelling there looked like broken cheekbone. It looked like a broken cheekbone the way it swelled up. But his game,
I have to try and find a picture now, because like I didn't think it was. I mean, like watching a lot of MMA and stuff like that, and you see when people get the cheekbones and the orbitals fractured, that they can swell up to like elephant man level fucking shit. Yeah, I didn't think it was quite that bad,
No, it wasn't. Yeah. Well, not quite to that level. So maybe it's a fracture, but his game was outstanding. To your point, Luai, just his running game. I thought he stood up, defensively as well. But for Queensland, for them to win, they really, as you said, Jay, they really needed to get early ascendancy in the forwards, and they got nowhere near that. And I think really Fotuaika was probably the only forward that really stood up to be counted. David Fifita, whilst he had a lot of touches,
they very comfortably handled, well,
ineffective, and I thought he was shut. Yeah, I think Cam Murray did in particular, amongst a few others. I think he did a really solid job, and I think there's a blueprint forming as far as how to handle Fifita. And I just wonder, there's going to come a time, I feel, especially if he starts playing, if the Titans continue improving and he starts playing more and more big games, plays more in the Origin arena, he's going to have to evolve his game, because teams and the good teams and the good coaches are starting to work him out, and the good players are getting a handle on him. And this whole under-10s thing of just running over the top of blokes for 80 minutes, is he may still do that against some of the lesser light clubs.
Oh, and that'll happen as well, given the quality of the ball and that, you know, at times, it's going to happen from time to time because he's just a super athlete. But on the whole, across games, he can be handled.
Yeah. But in this arena, when
that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but look, the same can be said for anybody, though. The same, if you just drill that down too, this person can do this at club level. However, they'll be able to do less of it at Origin because it's a higher caliber of game, usually.
Yeah, but this is for Fido in general, though. I mean, there's been times this year, I mean, like, you know, like Manly completely shut him down. And there was another team, you know, 2 weeks after that game, and I can't remember who it was, they completely shut him down. And then, you know, in between that, you know, he had games where he, you know, trampled fucking Tyson Frizzell against Newcastle and, you know, ran amok and looked like a fucking god. And but I think it's... he's such a super athlete and such a damaging guy when he does what he's supposed to do that he's just one of those players that is singled out for, you know, special attention and danger bells ring whenever the ball's coming near you and people have to mobilise and do the thing, you know.
I thought Cherry and Munster for Queensland, they just look rushed for the whole game, and that speaks to the forwards being pretty overwhelmingly dominated. They had no time, and Munster in particular just looked flustered.
And you could see that frustration boil over into, you know, like, you know, the grubby sort of stuff, you know? Yeah, yeah.
And he's got that in his game.
It doesn't stick out too much these days.
But I thought...
It did tonight.
No. I thought other than Turbo, I think he was best player on the field. But Latrell Mitchell, for him to come back... you know, he's had his ups and downs over the last couple of seasons. Last year's Origin series, he was left out. Was he dropped after game one? Was he left out altogether?
He was altogether last time, yeah.
After a poor showing for him, in game three of the previous series.
Yeah.
It was
previous
attitude.
Year, yeah, that's right. For him to – and he has had his issues with attitude even at club level as well. But for him to come back into the Origin arena and play the way he did, and to be fair, he benefited from having guys that were having pretty impressive nights around him.
Yeah, but still, he made some clean breaks himself. I love Latrell.
Exactly, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he might want to play fullback and maybe and like...
Well, that would be because he's a centre.
Yeah, but again, what's a centre? You know, tonight showed us anything.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, your attacking line is Cleary to Luai to Tommy to Latrell.
Yeah, and then they send it back the other way, and then Tommy's there again for the next, on the right hand side.
What's a fucking position?
Yeah.
Well, what is positions?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it happened.
Yeah, but it all comes down to the player, because you can put Gutho out there and a very different game on the job.
Very different.
And we've seen it. And we've exactly seen it. But
it really was like Latrell's first break, like that one where he just put the pace on and just took Coates on the outside down the sideline,
and just like the shoves off the hand as well, just to get rid of the guy inside. Yeah,
but the thing that I really liked about Latrell was he seems to have a brilliant understanding of his current limitations in terms of his fitness, because he's still not at peak fitness.
No,
you know, I'm sure.
No, it's a long way from
tonight. He was looking for help actively. Previously, in big games like this, he gets the "I can do it all by myself," and he ends up taking tackles. And he's not. It's not like he's a liability and fucking up, but he's taking tackles where he should have given early.
Yeah.
Tonight, he was actively looking for players around him.
That's particularly in that second try that Turbo scored, where he passed it into, I can't remember who did he pass it to. Was it Luai or Teddy or
Cleary?
It was a Cleary on the inside, was it? And then Tommy ended up scoring under the sticks. That was a perfect example. That try.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. But
that was another feature of the Blues play as well that enabled him to do that sort of thing. Is like they always had two, three guys pushing up, you know, looking to support the ball,
pushing through the middle. Yeah.
Like, just fucking like just a great enthusiastic,
which funnily enough you know, that's exactly what Penrith were missing last week. The halves dictating where everybody else is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
One last point I wanted to make from a Queensland perspective was, as much as I love Capewell as a player, and I think he's an adequate centre. I think he's a far better back rower, but I think what he was able to do in last year's series, being with being opposite Gutherson, he got a taste of what it's like to come up against high quality athletes. That you know, Tommy's not a, you wouldn't say he's a specialist centre by any stretch of the imagination, but just his athletic prowess and an overall skill level. You know, he did score the one try with some footwork, but
you also scored the one try on a line that was fucking dragged out to the fucking right because of two penalties and a six again as well.
Yeah,
you know, but
yeah,
sure. I think he was feeling. Yeah, but wanting,
I don't blame. Yeah,
due to the skill level that was coming up against him.
I mean, you're right. He is adequate. Like. And Origin, really, unless it's like an absolute fucking abattoir of injuries, adequate should never really find its way in there. I mean, like, is he an Origin level player? Fuck yeah! I mean, he proved it last year. But you know, maybe he's like a guy you put on the bench that's versatile enough to cover an injury in the centre should that happen, sort of thing. But he's not the guy that should be first man up. You know.
Yeah, it just to me. And no disrespect, you know, with zero disrespect to Kate. Well, as I said, I rate him as a player, but it sort of smacks a little bit of the back in the day when people like Bo Scott would be picked in the centres. You know, like
remember when he was picked in the centres? Though it was because GI was so dominant, and they're like, oh, Bo Scott's a great defensive player, so we're going to put him there, and he's going to fuck me. And you think of, and you look back on that now, and you think like that, it's like the dumbest fucking thing you ever heard of, right? But
yeah,
and that's probably the biggest thing with Freddie as a coach, and I think that's one thing he's really washed away is that there's some fucking outstanding and unbelievably skillful players that we can put in this side. Let's take the upper hand, take the ascendancy, and make them defend us rather than putting. If you know
and
what
letting
I mean.
Turbo do whatever the fuck he wanted rather than just like say, you know, you're the centre on the right, and so fucking, you know, you're going to line up over there. And it basically, with the exception of like being fullback in defence, taking bombs and stuff, he pretty much just played his natural game, you know, for the 40 minutes.
The other interesting thing is because the back five were so dominant in terms of eating up those metres, it really gave Freddie a lot of flexibility in how he ran his forwards.
Yep.
Like, they weren't working the guts out of themselves, and so the rotation had to be crisp and guys were blowing, and he had to get them through the last 5 minutes of a stint and pray that no one fucking...
Did you see anyone on the field that, like, you're like, fuck, he's looking tired. He's, like, it's just something that just never came up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, on the opposite for Queensland, though, fucking tough one losing Welch early.
Yes. And that fucked their rotation up, you know.
Yeah. Like, he's such a massive part of that pack in terms of his work rate. His attitude, that was a big one. But the other thing I think that showed up Queensland tonight was youth and inexperience. You know, we've mentioned before that Munster has that fuckhead snap in him when things aren't going his way. And at the Storm, it's been Jerome Hughes that's been settling him. Like, okay, let's just get back to the plan. We're going to put it in the corner for three sets, play for some field position, and then you can do some freaky Munster shit and get back here with the rest of us. Whereas he didn't have that tonight.
Yeah, and, and also when he does when he would lose his shit at the Storm back with, you know, back in the day, Cameron Smith was still in charge of that team. Cooper Cronk was there. You know, these guys were the guys in charge of the team. But now in Origin, though, he's like one of the leaders in the team. And when the leader starts fucking, you know, trying to kick guys.
And Harry Grant was shut down almost well and truly.
Yeah, he looked good in attack, but I mean, like in defence, he was caught out. He wasn't up to the pace of it defensively.
That's it. But then when you look at DCE,
at
no stage did he recognise, oh, well, Munster's just flipped his fucking switch. I need to take control of this for a couple of minutes and let him cool down. You know, the try that came off the break that Luai made. Like, DCE was in fucking Nofalumaville. He was that far out of the line. Mm. Like, in State of Origin, what the fuck business do you have being that far up and leaving that much of a diagonal gap when you've got one of the best running sixes in the competition opposite you?
Mm.
There's a lot of work for Queensland to do in defensive communication as well.
And look, I, looking ahead to next time, do I think it'll be like this again? I don't think so. It'll be like this. But at the same time, I don't know who Queensland can inject into the side, if they're going to eject anyone to the side.
Do we get Papali'i out of Canberra, obviously?
Yeah.
I think he would have made a big difference tonight.
I don't think he would have made a big difference. Maybe a difference, but...
Just remember
I don't know, he can change the early exchanges.
Yeah, maybe, but I just think the way that New South Wales were running at both sides the whole game, I think he would have been absolutely fucking, you know, blasted like out of the game wind-wise pretty fucking quickly. Like, just laterally, I don't know, but it'd be interesting to see... what sort of changes can be made to start with.
That's it.
Let alone will be made. But look, it's a, Freddie also probably, like, let's be honest, Freddie also benefited greatly from the lack of the fucking golf in coaching skill. Like, where last year he came up against Bennett and was just thoroughly fucking outcoached. His selections were fucking awful without Wayne having anything to do with it. But I mean, even with what was done with the troops on the table, but this year, Paul Green is unemployed at head coach level for a reason, evidently. And it's a good win.
Nice.
Good fucking
win. What have we got on the socials?
A lot of humble pie, I'd imagine, because, gee, there's some shit-talking little fellas in the Facebook group.
Toto TV on Instagram said, imagine being Munster or Grant, making breaks, tackling your heart out, and then you see DCE standing there, hands on hips, 10 metres behind play, watching you do all the work. Hashtag handbrake.
That's Nort. It. Turn, Queensland.
Nort said, gay guy has been playing Maroons footy for South. Inevitably, he'd play South footy for the Maroons. Sean Dog 7, who is obviously a fucking genius, says, hate to say it, Cleary up there with Andrew Johns. Well, don't hate it. Love to say it. Embrace your new fucking chinny overlord. What have we got in the Facebook group? We're doing this on the fly tonight.
You're doing it live.
We're doing it live. Nothing's fucking good live. All live means is that there's more fucking pauses between shit.
That's it.
Liam said, Queensland are always the underdog, so tonight was just setting us up for the next two games in a series win. Also, fuck DCE. Cleary can keep him. Nice.
Look at Queensland. They're fucking, they're eating their own. Like, this used to be the thing that New South Wales was accused of.
That's it. Bruce said, only thing lacking to make it perfect was a disrespectful field goal. Oh, wouldn't that have been sensational?
It would, especially after they got to the 50. Like, just something to take out the 51. Didn't have to be a 40-meter one. Just the regular one's fine.
And then there's Grover posting a bunch of fucking bet slips in there, which I'm not even going to go through because you need to take a good long hard look at yourself. Grover said, all I've seen is 17 independent contractors getting paid on the first day of a job. Have they even been in camp? Fucking disgusting attitude and no cohesion. Last year wasn't the worst Queensland side ever. DCE's AIDS. Forwards were apparently backwards. Hashtag fuck Greeny. Fuck, there's some DCE hating here, and I am all for it. Lachlan said, first of all, the cucks from Townsville stuck around. Not sure if they just enjoyed seeing their team getting raped or the whole reading numbers. Reading in general is just not their thing. Second, good to see Cleary put in a good performance, but if his face doesn't scream, fucking test my piss, I don't know what does. Oh, that's phenomenal.
And you've got some people here in the actual episode mailbag thread here that obviously thought that, considered this to be the mailbag for the fucking... game as well, and so we've got like David here that says, did anyone else think that Cleary could have possibly died from blood loss in the first half? No, Ash said, is this game the most emphatic win by the Blues ever? Well, you know, no. I mean, 56-16, while not a bigger scoring margin, was that the, and hand grenade. Hand grenade is still the fucking the high watermark for Queensland embarrassment, in my opinion.
Yes.
And like that's what the game needed, a disrespectful field goal and a fucking hand grenade. But if they want to hold the hand grenade off until the next one in, like, you know, Lang Park after they get the fucking wrap up the series in game two, I'm cool with that too. Even if they want to do like a,
do you think any of them would have the stones to do that? Like in today's game,
literally
like,
the disrespectful Penrith Panthers celebrators. I would fucking insist. I think fucking Jay should get onto Insta and send DMs to, you know, like To'o and Luai especially, not necessarily Cleary, but send them to fucking, like, To'o and Luai, send them fucking DMs on Insta and, like, send them the video, like, the Brian Fletcher, you know, send them the fucking video and say, you guys should do, you know, after you fucking wrap the series up, after you score, you know, the final try or whatever to wrap the series up, just try and seed it into their heads so they can get it, so they can get around each other at training. There's enough of them in the team that when they get on the training paddock, they go, yeah. And then just seed the idea and then let it grow.
Find the video and send it to me. Yep. We'll start planting seeds.
Yeah, yeah. That's literally all it has to happen. I'll send it to Tommy. Like, it'd be amazing. And I think that's probably all in there.
That's game one.
I just want to say shout out to Phil who put in the mailbag thread, let's hope the pain is still fresh. And nope. No pain here, lad. And someone else, who was it? Hey, that's right. Cameron Lewis, who said, Will we be able to feel the embarrassing warmth of your red cheeks through speakers? And that was 5 hours ago. And then 53 Jesus minutes Christ. Ago, he posted again and said, disregard this comment. can you feel the embarrassing large outline of my fucking hard penis through the speakers, mate? Because that's what you're getting. That's Origin. And look, is there anything better than recording an episode right after full time when the Blues win 50-6?
No, there's not. Phenomenal.
Right, let's hit some previews as we kick off round 14 of the 2021 NRL season. The first match on Friday night, the mighty Manly Sea Eagles take on the North Queensland Cowboys at Brookvale Oval. Did you see Brookvale? Looks like that. I had people telling me on chats and stuff like that yesterday, the day before, that were actually in the Manly area saying, hey, the Lotto Land signs are coming down. I'm like, fucking great. And there's like Four Pines going up. So obviously the brewery is fucking taking a higher stake and got some sort of naming rights. I'm not sure whether it's like that's a deal with the council for the oval itself or if it's, you know, to do with the team and the you know, game day naming rights. But I guess we'll find out. Now, changes from last week, Manly side. All the New South Wales guys have been named. I'd say Jake would be a certainty because he didn't have to play 80 minutes. DCE didn't do anything, so he should be able to play. The question of whether they rest Tommy or not. I mean, he seemed very comfortable through the game, and I'm sure he's pulled up fine, but still, you know, managing him, you know, they may sit him. And if they sit him, then Manly will fucking probably lose because the Cowboys have been, you know, like, you know, surprise packets, I guess.
Yeah,
is, you know, the way you could say it. What else have we got here for the Manly side? We've got Dylan Walker in the 21 somewhere, 22. Oh, he's in 14. There you go. So Dylan Walker, Guacamole back, and Ben Turbo back from well, they say back from injury. I mean, he got HIA after like about 10 seconds on the field. Kepi and Funa suspended from 2 weeks ago, and the Cowboys side. Let's see what they got. Tamalolo and Burr return from suspension, along with murderous Frank Molo. Lukey drops out. Jake Clifford's gone. Tom Dearden comes in, and Mitchell Dunn suspended. Did Felt do anything that might have him in trouble? I can't remember. I think he was just the fucking just the liability. Just he was like a penalty magnet and shit like that, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's it.
The crowd really tried. Every time he touched the ball, he got a massive cheer. They really tried to get him into the game, and the more they cheered, the more out of the game he got. Yeah. So.
The more they cheered, the more the spirit of Nathan Merritt entered his orifices to give him one of those potentially one and done nightmare appearances. Look, I mean, obviously Manly, great chance to win this game, but guarantee it with Tom coming off God mode, but whether he actually plays or not is another question, and I guess we won't find out until Thursday night. And I'd say because that's when he'll drop out, because they won't carry him in the 17 if he's in the 19. I don't think until the last minute. So we'll find out in about a day whether he's going to play or not. But otherwise, I mean, it's great to see Guacamole back in the side and start to get some players back. We keep losing fucking back rowers, but what are you going to do? But otherwise, they look fine. Good to see, Foran back. I wish Schuster would be back, but, Foran back is...
Is Schuster hurt or is he suspended? Pardon me.
No, what happened to him? Something happened to him in the...
I honestly can't remember.
He had a minor thing and they thought that he might be back for this game, but maybe they just give him an extra week or whatever.
Foran's a solid in, so I can't see Manly losing. Especially at home.
Yep. All I really want to see out of this game is I want to see some more minutes for fucking Ben Turbo instead of putting him on with like fucking a minute to go and then him getting like HIA pretty much the first time he fucking cuts it up.
What's the lowdown on Ben as a player?
He's played back row and centre. Through the time. So, I mean, we'll be using him in the back row, but I guess it means that he's got some versatility there if he has to come on through a play again, HIA or something, I guess. But I expect, especially at the moment, the way we are with injuries in the back row, I mean, that's where he's going to spend all his time. I mean, let's face it, fucking Schuster was a 5'8", and he's had to spend his whole time in the back row pretty much. Mm. But it'd just be good to see him get some minutes. The Cowboys, one of the best things about them and their surprising run this year has been the emerging partnership and combination between Scott Drinkwater and Jake Clifford. Jake Clifford is now gone and at the Knights. Yeah. And so now they're going to shoehorn Dearden in there. And, that could be
one of those things. An informed Manly team is not the thing to come up against when you're trialing a new harvest combine.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Definitely not.
Yeah, Manly is shoo-ins.
All right, the Sharkies take on the Panthers in the late game at our Net Strata Jubilee. The Sharkies side, Fifita replaces Pele on the bench, and they swapped last time, so they may do that again. Panthers side, okay, so everyone's going to... So Appy's straight in because he was the 18th man, so he's gone straight in at hooker regardless of anything else that happens. And then you've got Yo, Cleary, Martin, Luai, Capewell, and To'o named on a long reserves bench. To'o fucking killed it. Mm. He's going to be still fine to play a game of football out in the wing, I'm sure.
That's it.
I guess the question marks are Cleary's face.
Oh, and big shout out to Brian To'o's face/head as well, who had a head clash with a front rower. Front rower HIA doesn't come back on. To'o fucking kills it.
Yeah. Also, front row was like the forehead, and like he it was like his it looked almost like I got him in the cheekbone.
Yeah.
And you're like,
here's my interesting thing, right?
It's like the hardest part of the head goes into a breakable fucking part of the body, and he's the one that came out without a fucking problem.
Knocked a man out with his cheekbone.
Yeah.
Is that though? He's Welsh made contact with the head. Where was the penalty?
There was an accidental
head clash. It wasn't a fucking.
The tackle was Capewell made as well. There was contact. I thought there was contact shoulder to head, and
What happened was what I thought would happen, except even more to that way. I thought we'd get. I, well, you know, like I said on the show, I thought that we wouldn't get any sin bins for high tackles and stuff because they, the Origin thing, they just kind of just dial it back down a little bit. But they actually dialed it down way further than I thought because, I mean, there was plenty of stuff that we've seen, not sin bin, but plenty of stuff that you've seen, you know, for penalties and stuff
And I think what they did was they missed, that was just they missed a couple of them and put them on report after the fact.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, but even so, I mean, I don't think they were even looking close to bins. You know, it just didn't look like it was on the menu at all.
But it, you know, you're right. What do you do if you're Penrith here? Do you roll the dice and put your halves in, you know, after an Origin game? They'll be on a high, but fatigued. When you saw last week exactly what losing one of them for a long period of time would put you to.
Yeah.
So honestly, I think if Cleary's good, if Cleary needs to fucking heal up a little bit, just let I'd have one of just like I reckon if Luai's in there with Berta.
Luai and Berta,
I mean, just at least one of them will give him more direction than they showed. Exactly. You know, And I mean, the Sharks are not setting the world on fire, and the Panthers, even despite you know the outs, if that you put it like you know half of those guys back in or more. Or just give them a half that can control things a bit better and mean that they sort of maintain possession a bit more and they aren't defending all the time. I mean, they don't defend like a fucking third grade side like the Titans do. And so there's a lot of those cheap tries that the Sharks got away with last week that Penrith wouldn't concede under any circumstances.
That's it. Yep, Penrith, 13 plus, put your hands on.
Okay, so we move on to... Saturday, I suppose, Saturday afternoon, the Titans take on the Roosters at Hope Solo Coliseum. Brimson returns from Origin duty, provided his vagina isn't fucking prolapsed after getting run over by Saifidi in Origin.
Let us just specify that we mean that with all due disrespect to OK Bramston. But also with all due disrespect to Saifidi, because it hurts Bramston even more getting run over by the worst forward to ever play State of Origin, who gives away a fucking accidental offside penalty 12 minutes into a game for being a lazy cunt.
I thought that's the type of dumb shit that I think I'm the only one that fucking notices, but that's exactly what I thought.
I thought that was going to be like a game turning, dumb fuckery moment.
And that, we were only saved by Kyle Felt.
Yeah.
But if you're not,
that was when Kyle Felt.
Where
put that
are you at?
Stupid penalty on the
where are you at? Game one of a series, biggest platform the game has, at the highest caliber. Where are you at? If your head, 12 minutes into the contest. Can't process what you need to do there.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. He's like a coal dust coughing Aaron Woods.
I was just gonna say, like, would it be fair to call him Chocolate Woodsy? I mean,
you can't because we get cancelled.
Oh, you cannot cancel people for that.
Caramel Woodsy. Yes.
Oh, my God, they're going to go back and get sexual chocolate too.
That's it.
Oh, my God.
who's playing? Not the Titans. Whoever's winning that. Yeah, Roosters.
Yeah, the Roosters. Okay, so,
13 plus.
So they've got Angus Crichton returning from suspension.
I don't know who the Titans are playing. I just know they're going to lose.
Yeah.
See? I feel like Isaiah Yeo. I'll fucking straighten us up, no worries at all, but I'm not really sure where I am.
You've got Manu in the centres, you've got Lamb at 5'8", Walker back at half, Suwali drops the reserves, Angus Crichton returning. Roosters. I mean, Teddy's named straight up in there. Roosters are going to win.
Won't even be close.
The Rabbits take on the Knights at Stadium Australia. Okay, so Mitchell Cook and Murray and Jaden Sewer, all the Origin players are named. Gagai not named, and Burns replacing him in the back line. Why would they preemptively, before the game even happened, think that Gagai...
I feel it's a little bit harsh from Wayne that Gagai played that poorly in Origin that he drops him from first grade.
Yeah, but also, like he's got that precog shit with all the fucking all the bald chicks in the fucking pool, like Minority Report thing. And Wayne has actually seen that he was going to have a shit origin to drop him for, but a day before the game even took place,
he sees all. So,
yep. The night side. Okay, so Saifidi returns to the pack. Man to center, Croslin in at half. No Ponga. Look,
I just think Newcastle not really having a recognised halves pairing.
Mm-hmm. And this is the experiment, or not the experiment, it's the future, I guess, of Jake Clifford trying to find his way.
Yeah,
in his side. Nah, continues.
It's too much for Newcastle to overcome. They can't.
Agreed.
Yeah, agreed. Raiders take on the Broncos. Canberra in Canberra, and this weekend is it still going to be fucking cold in the weekend? We're supposed to be getting the coldest shit.
They said it would be tomorrow, snow.
Yeah.
It's
how fucking good with
that. Apparently going to be -1 here tomorrow.
Yeah,
it'd
be minus for you.
-1 feels like, with the wind chill, -8.
Well, you'll be inside all day because the fucking the Rona is rampant in Toowoomba.
One contact tracing, yep.
Was she buying a digger?
No, she wasn't. She was getting fuel. Not far from the HQ. But
have you thought of doing that as an advertising campaign?
Get Rona here.
Like there's an internet sensation about a guy, and you could rewrite his song to I really miss my digger.
Really miss a digger. Like
yeah, no, it doesn't go like that.
I heard Nate. I, it can't what, be that
I, but
far.
But I still think
Nate sang
no,
it
I think
once.
I think the fact he sang it, like I still think he knows what we're talking about. Nate, like, this is the reference he actually got.
You sang it a couple of I'm times sure of years and years ago on the show, so I remember it.
But yeah, imagine if someone see the digger breaks down, and then they can just be Glenn on there, giving the soul claps. You know how good he is at claps. Really miss my digger.
You're a marketing genius.
Oh, that's it.
Look, I mean, in the absence of anything else, that's going to be miss my digger. It's going to be the episode title, fellas. Just so you know. What we were talking about at the time, though, was the Raiders versus the Broncos. Canberra in Canberra on a cold ass weekend. Where it may be like that game where Australia A playing France in like parks,
yeah,
and
that's right.
It was fucking snowing and you know Paul Sirin's on the field wearing tracky pants, you know, playing because it was like fucking snow on the field. We may see one of those ones. Now let's see what's got here for the Raiders side. Bailey Simonson's gone to fullback. I think Caleb Akins is out with being shit, and Valame comes into the wing for Rapana. Timoko replaces Curtis Scott, who's been stood down for some bullshit. What did he do? Punched another cunt in a pub or something? Loose unit.
Did you see the exchange on Twitter with Moley
no.
commenting on Curtis Scott?
No, I don't.
He said something like, and. I'm not going to do it justice. But anyway, he said something. He posted something about the Curtis Scott thing, and he said, "If only I could tell
what I know,
the stories. Yeah, what I know about this bloke." Yep. And then a lady popped up who I believe is the mother of an Australian athlete, a high jumper,
right?
And she said, "Thank you for never telling those stories. It means a lot." And then he said, "The only reason I didn't tell the story is because your daughter begged me not to, or something." Which I thought,
"Wow,
that guy's obviously more of a cunt than people realise."
People realise, man. You were off Twitter for a while. The tide turned big time, and it hasn't come back out for him.
Yeah,
so
that's it.
People realise.
Well, whatever's going on there, you could probably narrow it down to a few possibilities, and none of them are fucking great. Look.
Yep. Now the Broncos side. Okay, so The big news here for the Broncos is the sixth jersey. Much maligned jersey this year with, you know, Milford and various people having their crack at it. This time, the Broncos, they need to put points on. They need to find the white line. And who better to find the white line than the man himself with the white line fever, Carmichael Hunt, into the side after about fucking 600 years out of the game. he'll partner Albert Kelly in the halves. So Farnworth moves to fullback. Isako's out. Haas returns at prop. Although, I mean, you know, he should be absolutely exhausted from stomping fucking holes in Queenslanders all fucking game. Flegler to lock, Asiata benched, Bullimore out. Copley comes into the centres to replace Farnworth, who moved to fullback. How many points do Canberra need to be up at half time to ensure victory against the Brisbane Broncos in Canberra?
18.
One or more.
You don't think that the Broncos can help them fade if everything's all balanced at halftime?
Yeah.
Nah.
I think 18 points, and they'll defend their way to a win. Canberra seem like they want to get out of the hole. You know, you see teams like Brisbane at the moment. There's nothing about Brisbane's behaviour last week that showed me that they want to get out of this slump.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Like, whereas Canberra, you can see it in them that they fucking dread their own performances. And they look that fucking happy when they do something positive. Canberra and Canberra. Can't get past them.
Yep, right.
One point I want to make is that, like, is with, and I've spoken about Milford a few times over the last several weeks, but we've got a guy, and Jay, you said, you know, the Broncos should be ashamed of themselves for the way they've handled Milford. But you've got a guy, regardless of his contract, the guy's obviously a talented footballer. It's all mental, right? Whatever his issues are, they're mental. He has the talent to be a great NRL player.
Yep.
No doubt about it.
Yep.
He has now been dropped, from my memory, the third time this season. Fair enough, he's had his knee, but he's been dropped three times this season. And when he, if he's out for a month or whatever, let's say Carmichael Hunt has some good moments over the next month, right? I think it's going to be clunky, to say the least. But let's say he has some moments, Milford's fit, and they don't put him in the side, and they favour a guy that hasn't played in the NRL for fucking, was it 2009 or something?
It's fucking wild. When did he even play his last game of Union?
Oof. Look, I think regardless of that, the answer to your question is, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Really?
It's completely nullified the rest of his fucking career, yeah, unless he arseholes it to England or something.
Yeah, spot on.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the fact that Brisbane fit their culture perfectly with somebody who, you know, ratted on his mates at the drop of a hat to save his own fucking shit skin, man, this is ultimate erection inducing material.
Yep. Look, yeah, at the end of the day, I'm super interested to see how he goes. But yeah, if he absolutely fucking dies a thousand deaths on that field.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, entertainment for me, worth the KO subscription for the month.
Yep.
Now, the Warriors take on the Storm at Central Coast Stadium. Now, where are we here? The Warriors side. Okay, so with Reece Walsh suspended, RTS moves back to fullback. Edward Cossey comes in on the wing. Rocco Berry comes in the centres for Pompey, also suspended. Amau up front, Harrison Siren in the second row, Josh Curran named at lock. AFB is listed as a reserve, and so he may get a call up onto the bench if he passes fit. The Storm. Okay, so what's happened with the judiciary tonight? Does anyone even know? Does anyone even care? With the what's happened with Nass? And Remus Smith is also, they've been named but facing the judiciary, and I actually don't have a fucking clue.
Did they have it on tonight, or are they going to leave it till after Origin?
It might have been last night. Hang on, we probably need to check this up.
You got guys like Munster that have been put on report tonight.
Yeah, that's true too, isn't it? What do you reckon is going to happen with that Munster situation? Like, it was there was no force and real intent behind it. It was more of like a push with the, you know, a pushing at him like a,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, but if you want to take the, you know, but if you want to look at it with the worst case scenario fucking eyes, you could just go straight up, look, mate, you've thrown your foot out there. Like,
yeah, that's it.
That's worth something, you know?
I'm sure it'll end up with a fine.
Yeah, yeah. I'm fucked if I can find out what's happened in this fucking... I'm just looking here to see if I can figure out what the hell went on in the judiciary. Here we go. Okay, yeah, here we go. Okay, so the Storm. Nelson failed to overturn his contrary conduct charge, so he is out. So Remus Smith, however, does get... he got his careless high tackle downgraded, so he's going to be playing. So there we go. Munster, you know, pending suspension... you know, should play Kafusi and Adokar. Adokar will certainly be there. I mean, he was barely sighted all game, wasn't he? And Grant and Welch. Welch, you know, he may have an issue as well. You know, he might be, I'd always say he'd certainly be out if he failed an HIA on field tonight. You know, he's probably not going to be playing on the weekend, right? And Kenny Bromwich returning early from a rib injury. In any case.
The Storm do Origin very well. They do the Origin period very well. And I think that Warriors side comes at them without much of their spark, but there'll be just too much skill and preparedness in the Storm for the Warriors to come up.
Professionalism.
That's it.
Look, I honestly, I would favour the Storm in this game, even if they had their Origin guys out. After the way that they you know, they played so well last weekend.
That's it.
But yeah, I think Storm to win, even without Big Nelson. Okay, so the final, is it the final? No, we've got one more after. Okay, so we've got the Eels versus the Tigers at Bankwest. The Eels side. Okay, Reed Marnie is injured, so he's replaced by Joey Lussick. Paulo returns at prop. Nucore to bench, Will Smith to reserves, Dunster on the wing. Ferguson is on the extended reserves bench, but not in the 17. Now, the West Tigers side, offhand Gowrie returns from Origin. Seafarth benched, and McKaylee is out with a knee injury. Tigers flying high, Glenn. Oh, sorry, looking Greg. I forgot Greg this week. So, are they going to beat the Eels, who seem to have found their way back to the winner's circle in a little bit of combination form again? Last weekend,
I think the Eels are a decent test for the Tigers, to see truly where they're at against teams at the pointy end of the ladder. I think that if over the last couple of seasons, they struggled to get it together against Para, and there's been a couple of games where they've made Mitch Moses look like a fucking god. I think they'll come into the game with confidence, and I think that they'll be able to. The issue that I'm worried about is Papali'i and Madison on the edges. I think we've shown some frailty there on the edges, as Jay has pointed out consistently. But I think those guys, not only with their running, but their ability to get an offload and then Moses and Gutherson sweeping out the back off those offloads is potential fucking cut the Tigers to shreds. But if we can shut that down, I think there's enough attack there with the way Maguire's got the side, Tommy Talau and Dewey in the centres. Roberts, as I said, I think his position moving forward is wing. Obviously, Dane Laurie and even without my Tigers bias, I think the Tigers are a shot in this game.
Without your Tigers bias,
yes. Without my Tigers bias, I believe the West Tigers are a big shot.
The reason we didn't do lines at the beginning of the show was that Nate and I couldn't bring ourselves to do it. After
Greg
said he demanded that his line this week was West's to rebrand as the Western Suburb Alex McKinnon's as they continuously struggle to overcome para. And we just thought that was a bridge too far.
Yeah, like there are some lines that we won't even cross.
Yeah.
As you do, you guys, I tell you what, you guys keep my moral compass pointed north at all times. You fucking pieces. You pieces of shit. Plus.
And finally, we have the Doggies taking on the St. George Illawarra Dragons at Stadium Australia on Monday afternoon. The Doggy side. Okay, so, Marshall King returns.
Monday night football. Yay.
And Marshall, late afternoon Monday football.
True.
You know, they couldn't quite bring it to the night, although they did bring some great Monday night level teams to the party. Okay, so Marshall King returns at hooker. Katoa returns from suspension via the interchange. Dietz and Tarpanay drop out. Chris Smith named in the reserves. And Dragon side. Okay, so 1-17, unchanged. Tarek Sims is a reserve on the extended reserves bench. I guess they'll slot him if they feel like he backs up okay. Yeah, that's it. You know, he probably should. I mean, he's got the good couple of days to freshen up. So, look, honestly, I mean, you see the Dragons putting the 50-50 burger on the Broncos last week.
Yeah, what can they do against the Dogs?
I think the Doggies, maybe.
Yeah. The only thing worse than the Dragons is their fans, and the only thing worse than Dragons fans is
Bulldogs
the
Bulldogs fans and club and everyone all in the one bucket.
Yeah, yes. The entire anything in blue and white.
I feel like the Dogs I feel like they've just got some more.
I would just like to quickly shout out our law enforcement listeners who wear blue and white, and I would like to tell them that I think personally they're awesome. And the Glenn's license plate.
Well, his license plate is his fucking last name. He's easy to find.
It's fairly simple.
But I forget what I was going to say. I think the Dogs have just got more. You know, they're probably more resolute in defence than the Broncos. And when while the Dogs are extremely beatable, 100% of the time, I don't think they've got that fold mechanism in them like the Broncos have, where they're going to leak a ton of points. I feel like they'll kind of fight it out a little bit more. But without being able to predict exactly how wide the margin is, I will predict the Dragons win, and I will predict that whatever happens, it's Desi's fault. I'm sure. But however the Doggies find a way to lose, I'm sure it's Desi's fault. And the koala fucking Trent Barrett will sail through unscrutinized for yet another week. Now, almost 4 months into the competition. Okay, and now to hit the mailbag. And the mailbag for tonight. Thanks everyone for getting in their questions. It wasn't short notice, but it wasn't huge notice either. So good job, folks.
And whatever we don't get through tonight, we can cover off on whenever, Monday.
Yeah, oh, that's right. There's not like a shit ton of them, but there's some decent ones. We've got one here. I like this one from Ben. 6 hours ago, he submitted this. Did Queensland ever really stand a chance? # real talk.
No,
they didn't. You're a fucking genius.
Oracle.
Michael or Valerie, I'm not sure because it's a joint Facebook account.
No.
Who am I meant to be going for as a Victorian Storm supporter? 1, Storm players. 2, Queensland and Storm players. 3, New South Wales and Storm players. 4, # fuck the Broncos.
5, move out of Victoria.
No, fucking don't. That's what got you in this problem in the first place. Cunts moving out of Victoria.
And getting fuel in Toowoomba. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Stay there until it's been cleansed by nuclear arsenals.
Is that what gave them away? They put fuel in their car in Toowoomba.
It was one of the contract.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, right. Mm. As a Victorian, it just comes down. That's a Victorian. I mean, how do you feel about the other two states? I mean, there's obviously a rivalry between Sydney and Melbourne, But as you know, that's, you know, does that rivalry, you know, increase to like New South Wales versus Victoria themselves? I understand how traditionally there were Storm players, far more Storm players in the Queensland side, you know, by virtue of them coming down through, you know, from, you know, Norths and things like that.
Yeah, that's it.
So, like, I get that. And that was probably a valid reason. But at the end of the day, just enjoy the game.
You're making a lifelong commitment.
You don't have to be, you don't have to be like, you know, going for a team. You don't have to jump, you know, because, you know, as much as you want to be a New South Wales supporter, a New South Welshman, you're not. You can't. And I mean, like, people who try and be something other than their state of origin, it just ends in fucking dismal failure.
That's it.
That is the take. You guys are great.
And yeah, so if you don't want to change your Facebook account to Greg and Valerie, or Michael and Greg, who has a case may be, Mitch says, in your opinion, what's a great origin moment? Mine is game one, 2004, Sean Timmins field goal.
Mine is Ryan Girdler scoring more points than all other Origin teams in history put together in one match.
I like the hand grenade from said
that
match.
Was true too.
That was great.
Alfie Langer comeback game.
Like, what? Oh yeah, fuck off. I also liked the immortal, you know, Mark Geyer fucking brain explosion fucking game in 1991 when he just like throws a flying elbow into Peter Jackson, fucking flying elbow into Paul Hoff, fucking face to face with Wally Wanker, stares him down, made him lose whatever hair he had left.
Fuck yeah.
Gave him fucking what do you call that condition that he had to get an operation on his brain for? Epilepsy.
Epilepsy. That's it.
Epilepsy. He fucking got a guy so viciously and forcefully moved into his head.
Gave him fucking
into
all
his head. He gave him epilepsy. Yeah. And then Matthew Williams has replied to that thread and said that game, but he also mentioned something I forgot. Yeah, Michael O'Connor's sideline conversion in the pouring rain to win.
Yeah, fuck.
This is the thing about Origin. There are so, it doesn't matter which side you go for. Everyone's got like ten moments you could easily just rattle off.
Yeah, that's it.
That you love, like fucking Steve Price getting knocked out, and then fucking Trent Waterhouse coming through with the fucking, you know, the spear after he's knocked out, and then all the shit that happens after that where they put up the up and under and fucking Gidley has to Gidley has to just eat the fucking pain of the entire Queensland side descending upon him, you know, trying to beat his ass, even though he had nothing to do with nothing. Like all that shit, just fucking great moments. Ben Craig running like a little bitch after instigating on hot, like so many moments. Let's see, where are we here? Okay, so Ben said, I mentioned earlier in the week, but has anyone made a swan dive from contention and relevance like the Raiders this year?
No. Well, unless you're talking teams that were docked points, I can't remember it in recent memory.
Yeah, the only other one, and like it wasn't docked points, but there was, I guess, kind of, the Roosters got the spoon that year where
Pierce got suspended.
Pierce tried to fuck a dog or whatever.
Yeah, that's it.
They were good the year before, and they were good straight after, but they just sort of took a massive fucking dive that one year.
There's nothing that you can really put your finger on with Canberra. It's just unraveled. There's not one massive moment. I guess the Williams sort of fallout and probably
signing cut Englishman.
Look, that's been a slow burn, but it's obviously turned into a bushfire now. So maybe that's it. But
the experiment in colonialism has failed. Much like they were driven out of Singapore and fucking Burma and
now
and
driven
India.
Out of Canberra.
So too, they've been driven out of our nation's capital.
How good.
Liam says, even if New South Wales win, we'll just tip off the redneck vigilantes that some youths have stolen the New South Wales team bus and let mob violence do the rest. # get out your banjos. A lot of confidence there. Aaron said, who's the obvious next coach for the Maroons when Green is sacked after the 3-0 this year?
Fuck, I don't know which coach is at Queensland or not. Unless they've sat
in the box. Dig up the fossilised remains of Neil Henry.
Mm.
What they'll do, they'll just put the SOS out to Wayne again.
Like, yeah, Wayne can't go forever.
Yeah, we're not going to. No, he can't. But they're going to try and get every last bit of, every last drop out of that fucking dried up old prune that they possibly can.
I wouldn't be surprised if they.
Anyway, thank you for your questions, folks.
You know, hypothetical. Yep. The way New South Wales played tonight, say Queensland happened to lose the series 3-0, I wouldn't be surprised if they bring in, you know, like a Thurston or so, even if it's as an assist. I saw him sitting in the box tonight, but in a greater capacity to try and, you know, bring back the passion. But when really what they need is a tactician and someone that can outcoach the opposing team's coach, you know. But you can't just keep going down the Wayne well.
Yeah, like at the moment, the way because they don't have the generational best spine, you know, potentially in the history of the game playing all at one time for them, they do need the coach. Like that Queensland, you know, the Thurston, Cronk, Smith, Slater era, Inglis, Queensland side didn't require coaching.
They just required
like the camaraderie and the camp to get them together for the game. The players were so good they didn't need to be coached.
And they had dominant playmakers on the field. They bring in Mal for a series and let him blood the Cameron Smiths of the world. Because I would love nothing fucking more than for that cheating cunt to be at the helm when Queensland lose the next decade straight to fucking Cleary.
Would be lovely.
Yes.
That's full time for episode 406. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can interact with us in a multitude of ways. To grab links to our Patreon, social media communities, and more, head to thisweekinleague.com/links. You support the show, drop us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. Tell a friend. Get your friends into the Facebook group. It's fucking awesome in there. That's it. That's all I've got here on my notes for this week. Because we are kind of winging it this week and doing it live, as Bill O'Reilly would say, back in the day before he got cancelled for molesting women. So he didn't get cancelled. He got Me Too'd. Justifiably so, of course.
Fuck yeah.
And that's it. Do you have anything that you want to say before we wrap things up, Jay?
No. Not at all.
Do you have anything you'd like to say before we wrap things up, Greg?
Go fuck yourself. Can't wait to see the Tigers beat the Eels on the weekend.
Yeah, and I look forward to Glenn recapping that match on Sunday.
Monday.
Because Greg's a fuckwit and a fucking loser.
But he's a little bit spicy. So it'll be a Monday record, say, Jay, because the Monday game, yeah.
Oh, Monday, yeah, you're right. Because truth be told, until I was actually reading through the team list, I was like, yeah, it's a Monday game, okay, cool. All right, so we're doing it Monday, right, so it'll be Monday. And I'll talk to you then, boys.
See you later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.